The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Mary Martin, Victor Borga, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and the Music Maids and Hal. Bing's guests for this evening are Walter Houston of the Cinema, Claude Thornhill of the Swing Circuit, and the Kraft Choral Club of Chicago. And here is Bing Crosby.
Off we go into the wild sky yonder. Keep the wings level and true. If you'd live to be a gray-haired wonder, keep the nose out of the blue. Flying men guarding the nation's border, we'll be there, followed by more. In echelon, carry on. Nothing can stop the Army Air Corps. Here's a toast to the host of those who love the vastness of the sky. To a friend we will send a message of his brother men who fly. We drink to those who give their all of old. Then down we roar to the rainbow's pot of gold. A toast to the host of men we boast, the Army Air Corps.
Thus, friends, we greet the men of our Army Air Force from Trinidad to points east and west and remind the rest of you that next Monday, April 6th, is Army Day.
Well, next Monday may be Army Day on the calendar, Bing, but every day is Army Day in our hearts.
Yeah, no dressing up for the Easter parade for me this year.
Why, I thought you were already all dressed up.
Me? Dressed up for Easter?
No, Halloween.
How do you like that, after calling up five flights to a tailor who makes victory suits to order? But I'm having a little argument with that boy.
Oh, probably arguing because he says no cuffs on the pants.
Oh, worse than that, he says no pants on the cuff.
Sure. Well.
Rough boy.
What do you care? Every place I go, people say, Bing sure gives fashion a thrashing.
Is that what they say?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, you find me a guy who can look well dressed up in one of those special new victory suits with all the fancy trimmings eliminated. No cuffs, no pleats. No built-in shoulders, no belts, no suspenders.
No belts and no suspenders, isn't that a little dangerous?
No, with every suit, you get your choice.
Choice of what?
How do you get a fan or a bubble?
Have you a victory suit too, Ken?
Oh, sure, but, I can't wear mine until I get my left ear pierced.
I never heard of a man having his ear pierced.
Well, with no lapels on the suits, I have to have some place to wear my carnation.
Oh, how cute. Why don't you pin it in your hair with your V for Victory pin? While you're getting it just right, Mary sings Indian Love Call.
Love dreams to endear.
answer true. That means I offer my love to you to be your own.
If you refuse me, I will be true.
And waiting all alone. But if when I hear your love call ringing clear, and I hear your wandering echo, so clear, then I will know our love will come true. You belong to me, I belong
when you were only four. Your favorite game was playing with your soldiers on the floor. The time when you were seven and tumbled down the stairs. An angel up in heaven answered all her prayers. Did you ever notice that teardrop in her eye? The first time she discovered there was lipstick on your tie. Now a soldier man you may be, but you are still her baby. She'll always remember, so don't you ever forget.
The musical and the literary shenanigans of our Danish friend Victor Borge are always just an edge eccentric, especially as described by Victor himself. Whatever Victor goes in for, he always comes out with something just a little bit different. What's new, Victor?
Remember a couple of weeks ago I told about a play I wrote, and I played all the parts myself?
Yeah.
I want to tell you about a play I wrote before that play.
Oh, yes.
This play has the same family as the other. And you remember the father and the mother, and the four children, Filigadush, Shinamarusha, Ballorna, and Peter.
Nice group.
But Peter isn't born yet. So we can't use him in this story. Just the father and the mother. You see, I wrote it after being in the United States about 1 week. I had terrible trouble writing this play because I didn't know one word of English. And when I was half through, I found out it was impossible to write a play without knowing one word. So, I learned one word. And the word I learned was anti-disestablishmentarianism.
That's the word.
That's a word.
Nice type of word.
But I don't know what it means.
So. Who does?
I just learned another one. It was a very short word, and in other words, I found a word that everybody uses and expresses everything. I heard it in every discussion, every time anybody opens his mouth and says this word, and I thought it would be a good word to use, and I wrote the whole play about that little word.
Oh.
That's a word.
You take it from there.
Yeah, I take it from you.
Got it, boy.
Yeah. The only trouble is spelling it, you know. It spells O-H, but you never hear the H. I don't know why the H is there at all, but I imagine it's only there to keep the O from rolling.
Thank you.
Maybe you don't believe me, but I'm going to read this little play to you now so you can hear that I can prove to you how you can read and write a play with one word. Oh, is the name of the play. When the curtain goes up, a man and his wife are on the stage. He's leaving on a very important business trip. And as he goes out of the stage, he says, but he can't remember what he was going to say, so he leaves. A couple of pages later, the wife is alone on the stage, and she sings a little song. She sings, "Oh, Sole Mio." And now she sings the first part. "Oh." And the door opens, and her sweetheart comes in. And he hears her singing, and he says, "Oh," and he leaves again. Later, she sings the last part of "O Sole Mio." "Oh." And the door opens again, and her sweetheart comes in. She's still singing, so he says, "Oh," and he leaves again. Now the door opens again, and her husband is standing there. The husband. He sees she's all alone, and he can't understand it. So he looks at his script and finds out he came in too early on the wrong cue. So he says, and he goes out again. Now the door opens again, and her sweetheart comes in. Now she's not singing anymore, so he says, "Oh." She says, "Oh," when she sees him, and the "oh," and he "oh," and she "oh." It's very clear that they owe each other a lot. Now the door opens, and who do you think it is this time? It's Billy Gadusha. There must be something wrong because he has nothing to do here, so I think we just tear that page out. Again the door opens, and now the husband comes in. Really, he comes now. And the woman sees him, and she says, "Oh." And the sweetheart says, "Oh." And the husband says nothing because he's so mad that he can't talk. He just takes a machine gun and shoots the man. "Oh." On the next page, he misses, so he tries once more. And, he tries again to shoot. "Oh," and this time it's better because the sweetheart falls to the floor. "Oh!" And the wife says, "Oh!" And now the curtain falls, and little Phil Caduceus says, "Oh!" because the curtain hits him on the head. And that's it.
Thank you, Victor. Thank you very much. That's certainly a powerful play.
Thank you.
Claude Thornhill, on the testimony of every swingle dingle from coastal to coastal, is one of the hottest triple threat men in the dance dodge, being equally adept at leading a band, playing the piano, or arranging. He's an erstwhile colleague of John Scott Trotter's when they were in the Hal Kemp organization together. And Claude put some long-cherished ideas of his own and some good men together about a year ago, and since then, he's been knocking the cats numb in every alligator farm that can handle the crowds. Taking time off from his current chores at the Palatial Palladium Ballroom to join us here in the Old Craft Music Hall, Claude Thornhill, ably assisted by the Trotter Ensemble, offers his own increasingly popular record arrangement of Autumn Nocturne.
Thank you.
swell. That was really swell. That takes me back to the days when you and Trotter used to play those twin pianos in the Hal Kemp organization.
Oh, yes. Of course, at that time, John was only half the man he is today.
They tell me, Claude, that back in the old days, people could hardly tell you two apart when you and John sat down to play at the twin pianos.
They can now. I've noticed that when John Scott goes to sit down to play now, the stool flinches.
Does that flinching bother you, John Scott?
Not at all, Bing. When Claude and I played together, it was the folks who did the flinching.
Well, apropos of a little flinching, Claude, what's this I hear about them banning those zoot suits at the Palladium Ballroom?
Well, the trouble with those long coats is you can't tell if a jitterbug's pants are pressed or not.
Look, with those long coats, you can't even tell if their pants are there or not. You know what I mean, don't you, Ken?
Oh, now, don't look at me. I'm no jitterbug. But, Claude, you band leaders must see and hear an awful lot of funny things.
We do, Ken. The other night, a couple danced by the bandstand, and their conversation sounded something like this.
Come on, squirrel, let's twirl.
You know me, babe, special delivery.
What do you mean, special delivery?
Wrap me tight and send me.
Hey, Jackson, get those two ickies dancing over there. They're moving sideways.
Yeah, you mean there's another way to dance besides up and down?
Hey, get Claude Barnhill up there on the stand.
Yeah.
He's copping a gander at us. Let's start banging our gums together.
Okay, hi, Claude. Boy, you sure send me, boy. I go for them solid classics, boy.
Classics?
Then you're interested in good music?
Yeah.
What do you think of Sibelius Finlandia?
Can't be any good.
Well, what about Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata or Bach's Brandenburg Concerto?
Can't be no good.
What makes you so sure they can't be any good?
Freddie Martin ain't played them yet.
Well, Bing, that'll give you some idea, Ken, of just what goes on the dance floor.
Well, thanks.
And for an idea of what goes on the bandstand of the Palladium, we refer you to Claude Thornhill's arrangement of Stealing Apples. We hear it now with Claude Thornhill at the piano and the Trotter on psalm hovering about in the background. Claude Thornhill with the Trotter Group playing a little thing called Stealing Apples.
Are you in the mood for an Easter poem, Dr. Crosby?
Well, I ain't in the mood for a toothache, but I get one once in a while.
Oh, you're going to like this one. I call it Hail Spring.
Okay, give us hail and farewell.
Hail Spring. This weekend will be an ecstatic delight, for we're having a pause for our Easter vacation. A little bit longer than this one tonight, this brief pause for station identification.
Continuing with Kraft Music Hall matters involving Walter Houston, the Kraft Choral Club, Victor Borge, Mary Martin, and at the moment, Moonlight Cocktail.
Couple of jiggers of moonlight, add a star, or in the blue of a June night, one guitar, mixing a couple of dreamers, and there you are. Lovers hail, the moonlight cocktail. Now add a couple of flowers, a drop of dew. Stir for a couple of hours till dreams come true. As to the number of kisses, it's up to you. Moonlight cocktail, need a few. Cool it in the summer breeze. Serve it in the starlight underneath the trees. You'll discover tricks like these are sure to make your moonlight cocktail please. Follow the simple directions they will bring. Life of another complexion, for you'll be king. You will awake in the morning, start to sing. Moonlight cocktails are the thing. In the starlight underneath the trees, you discover tricks like these are sure to make your moonlight cocktail please. Follow the simple directions they will bring. Life of another complexion, where you'll be king. You will awake in the morning, start to sing. Moonlight cocktails are the thing.
March is back. 1933, the year of bank holidays. 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is inaugurated president of these United States. 1933, Italy, France, Germany, and Great Britain sign a 10-year peace pact. 1933, men all over the country are saying...
What a horse. Oh, boy. It says here this nag equipoise earned $322,000.
Oh, Harry, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a horse like that?
No, just... Might create a lot of dissension in the stable.
Oh. Say, Harry, you know, I see in the papers that the United States Marines are coming back from Nicaragua.
Oh, yeah? You going down to the dock and meet them?
Oh, don't be silly. What were the United States Marines doing in Nicaragua?
Oh, well, you see, they went down there because, well, in Nicaragua, they figured, well, why shouldn't the United States Marines go to Nicaragua?
Thanks.
I see where President Roosevelt's going to have a brain trust. There's a good move.
Have you sent in your application?
Oh, they sent for me.
Oh, I might have known.
Love is the sweetest thing. What else on earth could bring such happiness to everything as love's own story?
Do you really mean it, Harry?
Do I really mean what?
I'll bet you don't even remember what I said the first time you kissed me.
Oh, you're afraid of the big bad girl.
Oh, that's a silly song.
It's a big hit. Very, very big. Very big.
Lazy bone, sleeping in the sun. How you expect to get your day's work done?
That's a good tune. You know, the one that gets me this year is,
I'm heading for the last roundup.
That's not nearly as pretty as them. They asked me how I knew my true love was true. I, of course, replied something here and I cannot be denied.
Yeah, I know. That's the smoke gets in your eyes. Fair tune, all right. But you know, for a song that's going to live, you give me that number by Irving Berlin. I'll bet your people will be singing it every Easter time. You just wait and see.
Oh, Harry, you know, you just know everything.
Well, listen. Let's not go.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover when they look you over. I'll be the proudest fella in the Easter parade. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographer will snap her, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade on the Avenue, Fifth Avenue. The photographers will snap her, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter
time you and I walked in the Easter parade.
Yeah, we was just kids. Way back. Oh, must have been way back in 1915. That's the year Daddy bought the Kissel car with the big brass acetylene lamps in front.
Do you know what else happened in 1915, Harry?
Yeah, let's see. I got my first pair of peg-top pants. Still can't seem to wear them out.
Is that all you remember of 1915?
Well, just Willard took the heavyweight championship from Jack Johnson in Cuba.
Harry, don't you remember taking me to the matinee of the Birth of the Nation?
I took you to a matinee of the Birth of the Nation?
Well, certainly. Why?
Fine picture to be taking a girl your age to see. I'm surprised they let us in.
They didn't? But we went to see the 7th episode of The Perils of Pauline.
I took you to see a thing like that?
You did?
I'd ought to be ashamed of myself.
Well, that's what I keep telling you.
You talk as if you knew about the times I sneaked off to see Theda Barra.
Gee, I'll never forget 1915. It was the first time I ever had a hat with real handmade grapes and flowers on it.
Nice. Say, you remember that song? I've been sailing down the old green river on the good ship, rocking.
Oh, Mother wouldn't let me sing that in the house.
Mother. Oh, that was another one in 1915. M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old.
I know, but I guess the most popular song in 1915 was that one that came over from London.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While you've a Lucifer to light your bag, smile, boys, that's the style. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. Oh, pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, come on and smile. Don't let your joy and laughter hit a snag. Smile, boys, all the fun. But
it never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile.
Ha, ha,
honey.
Oh, oh,
ma.
Gotta keep smiling.
While you've a Lucifer to light your back.
Light up, Jack.
Smile, boy. That's the sign.
Don't be brought down, pup.
What's the use of worrying?
Don't want a gray hair.
It never was worthwhile.
Your trouble's just a bump.
So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and
thank you very much, Mary. You know, Walter Houston, who scored so solidly as the devil in the film version of The Devil and Daniel Webster, is currently being seen as a man of the world in Shanghai Gesture. Manages it very convincingly, too, which is only natural, for Walter possesses a surplus of that charm, that authority, that certain indefinable something that women are attracted to in older men. Qualities which one usually associates with a professional man. It's the easiest thing in the world, for example, to envisage Walter Houston as an architect. You know, the type of an architect that would inspire the utmost confidence in any young couple who might choose to consult him about getting a blueprint for a dream home. Brides, accompanied, of course, by their catch, who have visited the office of Architect Houston, tell me that he seemed to step from a cloud, take their hands, gaze deeply into their eyes, and say...
Does my pipe annoy you, madam?
No, not at all. See, I always carry an extra supply of oxygen in my compact. Besides, Harry loved the pipe.
In that case, sir, fill up. Try my tobacco. This is my special blend, Rose Bowl Sweepings, 1937.
Oh, yes. Well, I've been smoking Coliseum Cleanings, 1938. With aromatic blenders. Very good. But thanks. And now about our house. I saw your ad in the paper.
Ah, yes, yes. I'm rather fond of that ad. Wrote it myself. Lay all your eggs on the line and let Houston feather your love nest. He's the bird who can do it.
Yes, that's why we came to you.
You were figuring on something inexpensive, I gather.
Why is it whenever people look at me, they know we want something inexpensive?
I just don't know. Just some little simple place will do. When we were married, I told Harry we'd be happy living in a tree.
And we were, too, till they started lighting... We were very happy till they started lighting smudge pots under us. That's... My flu.
Of course, we want the last word in style and classy look.
Yes, for short money. But we don't want the place next door to show us up now.
The place next door must be a beautiful establishment.
Oh, yes. Filling station.
You bought a lot next to a filling station?
Well, only on the south side. You see, there's a glue factory on the north side and a stable on the east side and the gas works to the west.
Right.
Can't go wrong with a location like that, huh?
How do you mean?
Can always say we'll tell which way the wind blows.
I see. Of course, in building your own home, the most important thing is to have the right type of architecture. What type of architecture strikes your fancy?
Oh, well, Betty Grable's is nice.
Well, there's one style that might interest you. This is a photograph of Madeline Carroll's residence.
Oh, gee. Madeline Carroll lives in that house? Hmm.
What's this strange-looking thing sitting near the gutter in front of Miss Carroll's house?
Fire plug. See the funny-looking nozzle?
That's no fire plug. That's Bob Hope.
I've always rather admired a hillside home.
Oh, I've designed several hillside homes on the Pacific Palisades overlooking the ocean. I'd like you to see them. I'd be glad to drive you down to Santa Monica Beach.
Hillside homes on Santa Monica Beach? What happened?
The rains came.
By the way, how soon can you get this house ready for us?
Well, I could finish it in 6 months, if it weren't for a priority.
Oh, gee, them things again. Already they got me riding a bicycle, growing a beard, and stirring short sugar in my jazz.
I'm sorry, but we can't get the materials. The skilled labor is all working on wartime jobs. This is war, and everyone has to put up with some hardships.
Yeah, I guess that's a fact. Can I use your phone?
Who are you going to call, Harry?
Your dad. I'm going to tell him that Washington says he's got to take us back for the duration.
Oh, I don't think he'll mind. This is a time when we all have to make adjustments, accept changes in the way of life we used to know. Changes that will continue in ever-increasing number to affect the lives of those of us who carry on at home. Forging the tools, manufacturing the weapons to arm the men who fight for us. Men who are giving their lives in the greatest of all changes. Change from peace to war. Changes that affect the parents who have given us those men, given us their sons. Changes such as Howard Vincent O'Brien described with such eloquent simplicity in the Chicago Daily News when he wrote in part, "There was no band, no ceremony. It wasn't even dramatic. A car honked outside and he said, 'Well, I guess that's for me.' He picked up his bag and held out his hand. All I could say was, 'Good luck.' The door slammed, and that was that. Another boy had gone to war. I'd advise waiting for the draft, waiting at least until he was old enough to register. He had smiled and assured me that his mind was made up. He wanted peace, he said. Without peace, what good was living? There was finality in the way he said this. Finality at once grim and gentle. After the door closed behind him, I went upstairs to what had been his room. It was in worse chaos than usual. Clothing was scattered about, sneakers, tennis racket, his phonograph records, letters, invitations to parties he would not now attend. I went then to my room. On the wall was a picture of a little boy, his toothless grin framed in curls. Not much time, I thought, between the making of that picture and the slamming of the front door. Suddenly a queer thing happened. Objects came alive. The house was full of soft voices. They led me up to the attic, to a box of toy soldiers, football helmet, homemade guitar, class pictures, stamp album, penny bank with the lid pried off, a folder stuffed with papers, report cards, a baptismal certificate, a ribbon won in the track meet, faded photographs, one taken on the memorable first day of long pants. That was only yesterday when I had held him in my arms. I remember all the scoldings I had given him, the preachments, the exhortation to a virtue and wisdom that I did not myself possess. I thought, too, of my last inarticulate good luck and wished that I had somehow been able to tell him how much I really loved him. And then I thought, what fools we are with our children, always plotting what we shall make of them, always planning for a future that never comes, always intent on what they may be, never accepting what they are. Well, Curlyhead, you're a man now. I hated to see you go, but I wouldn't have halted you if I could. I can't pretend I'm not sad, but I'm proud, too. So long, sir.
Thank you, Walter.
Well, Dean, over a million fathers have said, "So long, son." And a million mothers smile, proud that their son can serve his country, and finding some comfort in the sure knowledge that wherever he serves, the American Red Cross will be serving beside him, doing all it can, as it has always done, in every extremity. Today, the Red Cross faces its greatest job, standing side by side with your fighting sons all over the world. It takes money to keep the Red Cross there, and it's got to be your money. Contribute now, and regularly, and generously, that a shining light of mercy may be kept shining in a very dark world. Give. Give. Give often and generously to the Red Cross.
Among the many traditions of the old Kraft Music Hall is the signing singing of the Kraft Choral Club on the Thursday before Christmas and Easter. Like all traditions, it takes on a new significance with the years, and this year we feel that any swing toward the spiritual is of the greatest importance. regular listeners surely must know, the Kraft Choral Club is a group of over 70 fine voices, all of them Kraft workers in Chicago. Naturally, our Prexy J.L. Kraft, who is especially interested in the Kraft Choral Club, feels a great pride in heading a company whose employees have banded together for the joy of singing. As their first song, the Kraft Choral Club, under the direction of Lou Jacobson, sings "Were You There?" Kraft Choral Club. Lovely, isn't it, Mary?
Yes, Bing, very lovely. It's the kind of singing that seems to come from the heart.
I guess it does, Mary, because the Kraft Choral Club is composed of people who really like to sing. You see what I mean by listening to their second song. As It Began to Dawn, Kraft Choral Club.
Thank you.
everyone here. We take this moment to offer Easter greetings to the Kraft Choral Club, our Prexy J.L. Kraft, who makes the club possible, and our Kraft co-workers all over the world. An exciting treatment of Espanacani, John. Now, suppose you mood me into something of iron. Like, sing me a song of the island.
Sing me a song of the island. That the trade winds know. Sing me a song of the island, where hearts are high when the moon is low, where rippling waters seem to say aloha, Maui, Aue. Bring me the fragrance of ginger strong. Your guitar while I dream away. Sing me a song of the island.
That takes us up to the double bar for this Thursday in the Old Kraft Music Hall. We'll take it from the coda next Thursday, same time we started tonight, when we bring you such distinguished guests as the popular star of the year's finest picture, How Green Was My Valley. That would be Walter Pidgeon. In addition to Walter, we'll have one of the cinema's most promising young comedians, Miss June Havoc, who scored so solidly in Pal Joey. And Major John L. DeWitt of the Armed Forces of the United States Army, the Tank Corps to be exact. In addition to this varied group, our usual staff will be on hand. Mary Martin, Victor Borge, the music maids and Hal, John Scott Trotter, Ken Carpenter, and first person singular. Try to be with us, won't you? Until next Thursday, then. Hasta luego.
The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.